The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Aramaria, Planet People. This is Kevin Energy on your Solar Made Simple show. And as we progress into the end of a super autumn, all the popular questions arise as to how do we stay warmer for longer, cheaper and brighter. And I'll cover a couple of things which are relevant, and going back a bit, have you made sure your house is well insulated? Because it's no use having all the beautiful solar gear if you aren't retaining that heat in the house. And if you're in the Motuaika area, we are in the zone where you can get the insulation subsidy. So jump on the Tasman TDC site to be able to get just where that might be. We have an assessment done, and in our case we only paid $500 for the $5,000 system. And as I sit here, we are having the second leg of the double, which is our HRV, a whole of reticulated house energy change. So it changes the air flow into the house, making it warmer, and we're going into the 17 degree mark. And sometimes we haven't had to do too many fires up to now, but it's starting to go that way, but we can retain that heat for longer. So those two things are really good ways to go. You can get your house insulated for $500 if you haven't done it already, and by putting in a home reticulation ventilation system, you can stay warmer for longer a lot cheaper. Of course, if you go straight through to the solar area, then you added a number of pluses to the equation. But one of the aspects I want to cover here is all the rocket science that tends to be around solar because it's so popular right now. I put my system on 6 years ago, and it was, whilst it was the flavor of the day, it wasn't the flavor of the month. Now solar is a flavor of the minute, and you can't go past a day by day without some form of solar presentation projection being done, which is fantastic. It's how you go about it. So a couple of things you could do. You could look at your location and go onto two apps. One is called Solcast, and the other one is a system called the NREL PV Watts system. And when I say system, it means that you can go and do the calculator for your property, putting the panels on the roof. You can do it yourself. You don't need a rocket scientist to help you on that one. And it gives you some preempting of what you will be facing up to when the quoting happens, because there's a lot of quotation out there which is quite mind-boggling, but it gives you a bit of a background as to how you can be better prepared for the day. So let's assume now that you've gone through having your house fully insulated, 90% of the cost of the government. You've also put in your home reticulation system so that you can get airflow. And solar is not just about panels. Solar is about PV gain. It is also about the solar thermal gain. And that happens to be the likes of what I've just discussed. If you have a swimming pool, you can have solar thermal hot water heating. It's going to take a lot longer, but it certainly works. So what we're going to look at is why solar output isn't just about daily totals. And the reference source is the solar blogs that I use from Australia. And it gives you some really good values on it. So most solar owners judge the system by a simple measure: how much energy it produces over the day. If the total looks good, it was a good day. If it's down, something must be wrong. But that's not always a full story. It's not a soundbite. To understand why, it helps to look at how solar output actually behaves in real time, something solar forecasters track closely. And I'm going to put in a plug here. In the practice, we work with the Catch Power solution, Catch Power Relay, and it is the true management system from monitoring. You measure, you monitor, and you manage. So from a forecasting point of view, you can be in the pound seed. So why does solar output fluctuate so much? So if you've ever checked your monitoring app on your system and wondered why your solar output jumps up and down on an otherwise decent day, you're seeing something quite normal. Output can rise and fall sharply along the way, with dips and recoveries that don't always follow a smooth pattern. The devil's in the detail, guys. So solar output really moves in a smooth line, even on stable days. Those fluctuations are easy to see in the output graph on any solar app, just not in the way most people interpret performance. It's not individual sound bites. So daily versus real-time solar output. The daily total, or the time of day and season, are predictable part of the solar radiance. That's the predictable part. What changes in real time is how that signal is shaped by the atmosphere, particularly the cloud cover. Some of the cloud cover you might not even be able to see with the naked eye because it's way up in the stratosphere, and that's going to affect the solar radiation that your panels depend on. That variability is what solar forecasting systems are designed to model. Companies like Solstice AI and Solcast, which you can sign up to, use that modeling to track how output changes minute by minute, rather than just what the total looks like at the end of the day. So being free apps, they have certain limitations. And if you use the catch bar system, we can do it in 5-second timelines that aggregate to give you the minute by minute forecasting. This is why forecasting systems focus on questions like, what happens at 10:17 a.m. when a cloud passes? How quickly output drops and recovers, and how accurate a 5-minute ahead forecast really is. Forecasters use this information for real-time grid and market decisions. And I want to put in the fact here too that this has a very, very relevant to hot water systems. Because the hot water system is essentially a big battery. It's not lithium fluoride, it's not nickel cadmium, it's simply H2O. Very simple, H2O in a big tank that's holding energy, and that's your basically your hot water system. With a catch power system, for instance, we have algorithms that will intelligently track the sun performance and kick in and bring in the solar PV to heat your hot water, not just by the simplicity. So some electricians say, well, we'll just put in a switch and we'll set, let it switch on at, say, 10:45 in summer or in winter, and maybe 8:45 in summer. A lot happens in between there, so the variabilities can be managed. So at the household level, the same output fluctuations show up in smaller but meaningful ways, especially around when energy is used, stored, or drawn from the grid. The cloud problem behind solar variability. So forecasting the output of solar rooftop PV systems is inherently complex, as it depends on both atmospheric conditions and site-specific factors, Dr. Julian De Hoog of Solus AI says. The challenge starts with estimating how much solar radiance reaches a given location. While time of day and season are predictable, cloud behavior drives most of the uncertainty in short-term forecasting. And therefore, you don't want to just have a switch controlling your hot water, which can be up to the 1/3 of your power bill. You want to be able to have something that's working intelligently in the background, a la the catch power. It gives you full variability and monitoring and access. So the forecasting becomes a breeze. You don't have to do it anymore. On days with uniform conditions, either clear sky or full cloud cover, are easier to predict. Intermittent cloud, especially small, fast-moving spot clouds, are much harder. These can be too small to be resolved in satellite imagery, yet still cause sharp fluctuations in solar generation because they are going to be over your place for a little bit longer than the satellite can pick up. At this time of year, additional factors can make forecasting more difficult. For instance, in Northern Australia, convective cloud formation can remain active into autumn, with clouds developing rapidly and with little warning. In southern regions, morning fog becomes more common and can reduce predictability in the early part of the day, a la Auckland, a la Wellington. From a forecasting perspective, this makes short-term output difficult to predict. While at household level, it can still look like a fairly normal solar day. So timing starts to matter at home. Until recently, short-term changes in solar output haven't mattered much for most households. If the daily total was strong, brief dips during the day weren't especially important. But that is starting to change as more homes use solar in real time than just as a bill offset. Falling feed-in tariffs, along with a rise in electricity vehicles, batteries and time of use pricing, are shifting attention from exporting energy to using as it's generated, used on site before the meter. So charging EVs during the day, running appliances directly from solar, and storing excess in batteries and avoiding grid imports during peak pricing all make timing more important than it used to be. The day of you being able to just quickly flick your app and look at it, you need a management tool back of that. And it's not just an investment, a cost, it's an investment. It'll return in excess of $1,000 per annum if you use it intelligently, and the cost thereof is about $1,400. So do the maths. In some cases, such as demand-based tariffs, a short spike in grid usage during a dip in solar output can have a much bigger impact on costs than you might expect, because charges are based on peak demand rather than total energy. Another one of the Jen Taylor's ruses. Their charges are based on peak demand rather than total energy. A passing cloud might barely change the daily total, but it can still cause output to drop at exactly the wrong moment, triggering grid imports when they aren't expected. That's why you need a machine to connect it up. So should solar owners think like forecasters? Not really. But understanding the difference between real-time changes and daily totals really helps. Forecasters focus on accuracy over time because their outputs feed into grid operations and market decisions at scale. Solar owners focus on outcomes across a day, where small fluctuations usually don't have much financial impact. But as more households rely on solar in real time, that gap is narrowing, so we're becoming almost like decisions at scale. Because once you start using solar as it happens, rather than just what it produces at sunset, short-term changes start to matter more. The devil's in the detail. So as far as timing, it matters. The point isn't choosing between daily totals and real-time behavior. It's understanding both. For most households, the daily total will still be the headline number. That hasn't changed. It's how you make up that number. As appliances, batteries, and electric vehicles become more closely tied to when solar energy is available, short-term fluctuations start to matter in practical ways they didn't before. So the niches are widening. That doesn't mean to say tracking every dip or watching every cloud. It just means having a rough sense of when your solar performs well and aligning major energy use with those peak periods where you can. So therefore you have an intelligent hot water system connector that can manage it for you in 5 second and 5 minute timelines. You don't have to sit around doing that. It does it for you. And you'll be able to add a savings like 1/3 of your power bill, which is hot water. Adding a home battery storage system can also help to ensure you can ride out those short-term dips without drawing from the grid. So, for a deeper breakdown on how solar output, power and energy fit together, go to the solarenergyquotes.com.au and you'll get a good idea of what's happening. And of course, it's climate action now. This is when it's all happening. By doing it daily, we can get ourselves closer to being climate action friendly and a lot more energy efficient. You have a great day, and kia ora ate raumere. It's Kevin. So, planet people, this is Kevin Energy, and kia ora rawa atu, which is thanks heaps for listening. See you next time. Ka kite.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.